Yo, what's up? Good morning, afternoon, wherever and however and whenever you may be finding the podcast, Morning Cup of Joe podcast. We're back. It's been quite a while since I've been on the mic, and I tell you what, it does feel good to be back, especially with that kind of bass going. Let the intro fade out, and welcome to another installment, another episode. For those of you that are new to the podcast, my name is Joe Farrell, and I used to be a TV weather guy in the United States. And the reason I mentioned the country that I actually live in is because I've noticed that with my last podcast talking about the tornadoes back in March down in Dixie Alley, that got a lot of new listeners from multiple different countries. And, you know, whether you listen to that for 30 seconds, whether you listen to this one for 30 seconds or a minute, just want to give a shout out and say thank you. I really do appreciate the support and the listens. And yeah, that was the last episode. It was all the way back in March. And I used to be a TV weatherman. That's kind of the topic that I wanted to cover today. Talk about a lot of the changes that have gone on in my life over the past couple of months, and just kind of update you all on what's going on there, and also have a little bit of content when it comes to local news as well. Kind of wanted to cover something that has been on my mind for quite a bit, and something that will probably continue to be on my mind, even in my next adventure and my next part of my journey, which hopefully, and I'm hoping and praying that call comes to me today as far as a new job. So if anything happens in that regard and I feel like talking about it, well, you might end up hearing something about that. But first, let's discuss the changes that have been going on in my life. So over the last couple of months, I have been out of the weather space and not on TV anymore. I left my job in Missouri and moved down to Georgia. I moved down to Georgia to for my wife to take an opportunity for her career in the veterinary field and work at a fantastic veterinary clinic down here. So really thankful and happy that we were able to take a job opportunity for her. And it's not just moving for me all the time, because that's what our first three moves were. They were for my career, from her moving up from Florida and living in Iowa for a couple of weeks, then moving to South Dakota, and then moving down to Missouri. Yeah, we were able to move for her down to Georgia. So it's been fantastic. It's been great. It's been an awesome transition. And I think I'm finally just kind of coming to, I don't want to say coming to terms, but just kind of getting over the fact that I am not on TV anymore. And it was something that I knew was going to take a little while to kind of settle in, because that had become a huge part of my identity over the last 6 years that I've been on air, and that I have been doing work in the weather space as a broadcast weathercaster or weather person. And as far as me being a meteorologist, well, I will be getting my certificate in meteorology through Mississippi State in early August. That's the hope there. So very soon to be able to kind of call myself a meteorologist, but I won't do that just yet. I do have my dogs with me, so if I happen to, I'll probably try and cut it out when editing this podcast back, but my dogs are not the best behave. They're very sweet, just not the best behave. So Peaches might be jumping up on the counter in our kitchen, and I might have to tell her to get off. So again, I might have to kind of edit that out going back through the podcast. But anyway, not on TV anymore. And with it being such a huge part of my identity, it was kind of a tough transition at first being out of television, because, I mean, to be 100% honest with you all, you know, I wasn't the type of person that was, you know, I wasn't like super unpopular when it, you know, growing up and like in high school, I had plenty of friends. It was a small school, so we all knew each other, which probably made it a little bit easier for me to make friends and have a friend group, which I did have. But I wasn't like the most, you know, popular kid that everyone loved in like, you know, grade school and high school and everything like that. And I, you know, was a pretty shy kid. I dealt with, you know, quite a bit as far as just teasing and just general stuff like that. that really impacted me way back in the day. But where I'm kind of going with this is that television completely erased that part of me and completely erased that past, which I'm not the most proud of and haven't been the most proud of. And, you know, especially with how I, you know, transitioned into the life without my father after he passed away when I was 12, and just how it affected me and just everything else going on, you know, getting a little bit of teasing and just things like that. You know, things were not the, I wasn't in the greatest mental state, you know, going through grade school and high school. And therefore, that kind of led to, you know, me being, you know, maybe not the most loved person by everyone around me and my peers. So TV completely eliminated that. And the reason it did is because I completely came out of my shell. TV forced me out of my shell and out of my shy shell that I was in for most of my life. I could always talk to people, but it was speaking in front of, you know, groups and, you know, speaking in front of the camera, which I eventually, of course, had to learn how to do. But it was something that was, you know, all of those things were still uncomfortable for me, and I had to get out of that shell. So, you know, TV really helped me a lot. So transitioning out of something that has brought you a long way socially in your life, whereas you didn't have those skills beforehand, that's, you know, that was a tough thing to leave, because I learned and gained so much being in television. And not so much because I wanted to, you know, become famous, wanted to get recognized in public. That really wasn't the reason I did everything. If any of you know me, I do my very best to be a very humble person. And that's how I'm always going to be. It's how I'm going to continue to be, because, hey, I am just so far from anything fantastic and wonderful. That's just the truth. I'm just a normal guy. I just happened to be on TV and doing weather and doing and living out my dream for, you know, 6 years. So transitioning out of it was pretty tough. And it was also, like I just said, a dream. And leaving that dream, I had several different moments over the last couple of months where I felt like I had just kind of thrown in the towel when it comes to, you know, leaving my dream and thrown in the towel, and just, it felt like I had almost given up, which of course I hadn't, but I was still leaving the weather space and leaving something that had improved my life in a lot of different ways. So that was, of course, pretty tough. And I have fully transitioned out of it now, I think. And I, you know, it's kind of nice being able to go to the grocery store and not have to look, you know, feel like I don't have to look 120% presentable. You know, I can go in gym shorts, you know, maybe some messy hair and a old t-shirt, and I'm going to be just fine. I'm not going to get recognized. I'm not going to have people coming up and talking to me, which that wasn't a bad thing per se. I certainly had plenty of positive interactions with our viewers and within our coverage area. So that wasn't really a problem, but I think you get what I'm kind of getting at and what my point is, which is it's kind of nice to kind of have a fully private life. I've fallen off the edge when it comes to social media. I've completely unplugged in that regard. I've stayed away from it. I look at Twitter to keep up with my sports teams, and I'll scroll through Facebook every once in a while to keep up with some friends, and Instagram as well to do the same thing, kind of keep up with what's going on in my friends' lives. And so I just have completely unplugged from that world, and I really needed the break. I needed the break pretty horribly, and a break is something that I really didn't get in my career for, you know, 6 years straight. I worked very hard. And I wouldn't go back and change that, certainly, but worked very hard and at times got worked into the ground and couldn't recover. Went through, you know, mental battles that I've talked about on the podcast in previous episodes. And so it was something that, it's certainly been a nice transition into a more kind of a private life. And I probably won't ever go back to local TV. I am currently, as I mentioned, hoping for a phone call today that gets me back into the weather space and a new job down here in Georgia. And I'm very excited because I feel like I am in good position with said job. to receive an offer to be a part of that team, but I probably won't ever go back to local TV. And there are a multitude of reasons for that. It's not so much the people, because I've gained so many lifelong and what I will consider lifelong friendships from working in TV. I made some of my best friends over the past years working in local television. And whether it was reporters, other meteorologists, whoever, made some great friends, met some amazing people, and people that had been working hard at their particular position for years. I worked with a man who had been at our station in Missouri for 53 years. I think he might be in year 54 now. Regardless, incredible. And he's an incredible human being, an awesome guy. I really miss working with him. But anyway, you get the point. Worked with awesome people. And so I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that part of local television, being able to bond with, you know, my team. And I'd certainly miss who I worked with quite a bit, and probably will miss them for quite a bit. But the reasons that I have and why I decided that it was totally okay to leave the weather space. Now, I mean, let me put this into perspective a bit. Weather has been my ultimate passion my entire life. So being able to recognize that I needed a change, and that meant leaving the weather space and accepting that, that took a lot. That took a lot for me. That took a lot of, and really it didn't take that much thought, but it was still a tough decision to come to and a tough realization to come to, because weather was the one thing I'd worked so hard to kind of get into the weather space. And I'd worked so hard to get into it, and I was just going to leave it. And that's what I did. I left it. Now, of course, I still keep an eye on the weather. I still keep up to date with the things that are happening around the globe when it comes to, you know, severe weather, hurricanes, typhoons, cyclones, whatever it may be. I keep up with all of that, and that's great. That kind of gives me my fix, so to speak. And I haven't been doing much forecasting, which is my favorite thing to do, but I've at least been keeping up with weather. And just taking a little bit of a minor break, I suppose, along with a break from multiple other things. And yeah, it just it's been okay. So it was just it was a tough decision, but it had gotten so unhealthy for me, my life, that I knew I needed to change. And again, there's a multitude of reasons for this. It's no one in particular that I worked with previously. So I want to put that out there straight away. I'm not going to try, and hopefully I don't come off, you know, kind of like I'm ragging on my previous coworkers or anything like that. I certainly don't want to come off in that way. But I do have some beef. I've got quite a bit of beef, but it's more so with broadcast corporations. And so being out of the business, it's taken a little bit of a courage buildup to talk about this. It kind of scares me a little bit because of how big they are. And I know that they have listened to the podcast before. So there's a kind of another thing. No idea if they'll listen now that I'm not an employee. But so let's get into that little bit of story time here. So, you know, I'm not sure of the latest updates, and I might kind of type things out as I'm recording here. But so, actually, in fact, I am going to get out my phone to kind of look a few things up. So here's kind of the deal. We were owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group. That is the broadcast corporation that owned our station. And what they're doing has really disgusted me to my core. And again, it's mostly because of how I know what I know, how people are getting paid and compensated. I know how some people are getting treated, and I know just how rough it can be working for some of these broadcast corporations. I haven't worked for all of them, so I can't speak to all of them, but I can speak to Sinclair Broadcast Group, and that's what I'm going to speak about today. So let me start out by getting into what happened when the when coronavirus hit and things really started shutting down. I remember we were it was just a few of us at the station because we had a lot of people working from home, you know, social distancing and all that sort of stuff that was going on. So it just and here's I've got some things pulled up on my phone. So I apologize if I stutter a little bit. I'm going to get to those here in a minute. But it was the start of the pandemic. And I can't remember how long it was after, you know, things kind of shut down and all of the just staying home, businesses, basically shutting down for a bit. You know, when it all took place and when it started to when we had this kind of state of the company address by our CEO. Who is still the CEO today, mind you. He came in, he said, you know, this is going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard for all of us. And what happened was we went on a wage freeze. And the wage freeze, it wasn't that we stopped getting paid. We were still getting paid, but our contractually obligated raises that we, you know, when we signed our contracts, we would only, I mean, it was only like 1%, but still, It was a raise in the next contract year. And basically, they stopped that. They stopped the contractually obligated raises. And there is fine print in our contract that says we would have to agree to it. I mean, I could get on a whole tangent with contracts and how they are very one-sided and there's really no negotiating it. It is to the benefit of the Broadcast Corporation and only the Broadcast Corporation, and basically any situation that you could think of being a part of. So I could get on a whole tangent with that. I'm going to keep going with this story here and try and stay on track. I ad-lib my whole life, so I've got no notes here. I'm just kind of going off the cuff. So basically, our wages freeze. And then our wages were froze until January 1st of 2022. So this was like 2 years of our wages being frozen and our salaries and hourly wages being stuck at where they were at, no matter who you were and no matter what station or what market or size that you were in, your wages were frozen. You want to know what happened in that time period? Well, Sinclair Broadcast Group, record profits. They made record profits and beat, you know, previous records 2 years in a row while we were under that wage freeze. So we weren't getting our raises, but yet the corporation, no matter how much they told us that it was a struggle, it was hard, times are tough, they were making record profits. Shareholders were, you know, probably euphoric, whatever, which maybe this is just a jaded way of looking at corporate America in general, just with the way that a lot of companies are run, where it is maximizing, you know, profits over the the living situations and pay and all that sort and benefits and all that sort of stuff of the employee or the people that they employ. So maybe it's a jaded way of looking at that. But again, I can only speak to what Sinclair did during that time. So they made record profits. They became a Fortune 500 company while our wages were frozen. Does that not just sound so backwards and messed up? I could use, I've got a lot of choice words, a lot of words I am not going to say because I want to keep my podcast a clean podcast, but just know that there's a lot of things I could say that I'm not going to. Does that just not sound so messed up? Becoming a Fortune 500 company while you're not giving your employees like a cost of living, like wage increase, not even that. Wages were frozen completely. I don't know, man. I thought it was a bit of a joke. And that's when things started going like downhill as far as how I respected and thought of the company. So let's fast forward to the last like 7-8 months. So here's the deal. Sinclair owns the Bally Sports Networks. It's called the Diamond Sports something. That's what Sinclair calls it. They own a lot of the, you know, regional sports networks. So
You have like Bally Sports North that covers the Timberwolves, the Twins, and the Wild, the NHL team. So that's the networks that I'm talking about. Sinclair bought out Fox Regional Sports Networks, and that became Bally Sports Network. So Sinclair owns that. What's been happening is Sinclair declared bankruptcy on their Diamond Sports, the Diamond Sports part of the company. And they basically are not able to make payments to these sports teams to keep things going and, keep the agreement between like the MLB teams and Sinclair, for example, because they can't afford to pay. They went bankrupt. And here's the thing that bothers me the most about this. It's not that, it's just, crappy business that you bought something for. It was a lot of money. It was over $1 billion, I'm pretty sure, that Sinclair bought the Fox Regional Sports Networks out for. And you go bankrupt on that in like a year and a half, 2 years. Like, seriously, it's bad business, obviously. But here's the thing. The amount that like they bragged about the Diamond Sports stuff, even just a couple of months before they went bankrupt on it, it's pathetic. It's ridiculous. It bothered me so much. It bothered me an insane amount. And I can feel myself getting worked up already. And the amount that they bragged about it, I literally sent an email straight to our CEO and said, look, I'm glad that the Diamond Sports thing, because at the time they said it was going really well. So I was like, look, I'm glad that it's going well. Like, thanks for updating us. I was just trying to be professional. You know what I mean? But I was like, can we please look into the wages of the local television employees that work at these, work at the stations that you own? Can we please look at that? Can we please increase the wages? Because I know how many people are struggling. Some people, when they get their first job in local TV, have to have two jobs to make ends meet. They have to go on government benefits because they don't make enough, and they actually qualify for, like, food stamps and things like that. To me, that's ridiculous, especially with how much one singular local television station can put you through as far as how much you work and how they treat you and everything that kind of goes into that. So knowing how much that, someone can go through, that sucks. But I literally emailed him directly saying all of this. Of course, I never got a response. I didn't expect a response, but I hope that it reached him in some capacity and made him think. That's all I was looking to do. Was I was like, maybe this will reach him. Maybe, just maybe, he'll put some thought into this or think about it. Of course, that didn't happen. I mean, the dude has made over $15 million each of the last couple of years. Insane. While you've got a journalist in Sioux City, Iowa, making $23,000 a year. Like, come on. And again, maybe this is just corporate America. I'm just speaking to the local TV industry as a whole, and Sinclair specifically. So, it's ridiculous, in my opinion, that they bragged about this so much, they went bankrupt on it, whatever. But there's been a trickle down effect. My apologies, I had to get my dogs to quit, play fighting each other and barking and whatnot there for a second. So it's not so much that it kind of just really bothers me that they went bankrupt, because whatever, right? It doesn't impact me. Of course, it probably impacts some of the higher up employees with Diamond Sports, and I certainly feel for those people. But anyway, that's not so much what I care about. The trickle down effect is what, and what's been happening is what I care about. I don't know for certain how many stations it is up to now, but what Sinclair's been doing is they've actually been just liquidating some local TV markets that they own. So, like, there's a station in Sioux City, Iowa, that they just liquidated completely. There's a station in Alabama, one in Michigan, I believe. They just got rid of them got rid of the staff. And what did they do? You might be thinking, well, how are those people going to get local news content? Well, they're not. Sinclair said that they would give that, but they're just playing their national desk crap that is their own branding and just playing that sort of thing, the National Weather Desk, the National Desk, and all that garbage. They're just playing that to basically supplement that they've gotten rid of those stations. And, I mean, oh my goodness, it bothers me so much. These are people that have put so much time and energy and work into the community. When you work in local news, you learn to love and to care about the community that you are working for. And yes, as much as you might hear from people that the media sucks, you can't trust them. Look, you might not be able to trust Fox News. You might not be able to trust everything CNN says or MSNBC. No matter what network it is, you might not be able to trust that. It might just be opinion-based. But guess what? Your local newscast that you might watch in the evenings or in the mornings, that's not opinion-based. We can only report facts. That is what we keep that integrity to our core with everything that we do. We try to get both sides of the aisle, both the left and the right on the political spectrum. We try to get both sides of the aisle, try to get opinions from both sides on a certain story, report the facts, report what they are thinking and what they are saying, and we go from there and things move on. We are fact-based. We are not opinion-based. So liquidating these stations because you went bankrupt on your Diamond Sports thing, I don't even know what to call it, initiative, branch of your corporation, I have no idea. Anyway, going bankrupt on your Diamond Sports thing and what you do because you have to, you have to scramble to get money, you just liquidate these stations, you lay off the people that have been working in some of those communities for, 5, 10, 15, 20 plus years. Are you kidding me? It's pathetic. And what it does, when you don't have any local news content, especially in those smaller markets, that's a problem. That's dangerous. That means that public officials, police, anything that you can think of, there's no accountability. If something goes wrong, let's say the mayor makes a wrong decision on something or something that isn't going to be great for the community and there's no one to report on it, then that's just going to be swept under the rug. There's not going to be any light on it until it's actually happening. And by then it's too late. So that's the thing for me is when you liquidate these local stations, you're getting rid of some of the accountability that some of those reporters and hardworking journalists might be able to ask the hard questions to some local officials, no matter who it may be. And you might be able to get the public involved. The public sees that, they give their opinion, and you've got a collaboration to help the community. And we are, as a local journalist and as a local meteorologist, that's what we care about. We care about the communities that we serve and the communities that we do all of our work for. We care a lot. We meet a lot of the people in the community, and a lot of times, very kind humans. There are so many kind people out there in the world and in these markets, and we meet them, and we care. We care so much about them and about doing the best job that we certainly can on our end for them. So I think it's absolutely pathetic that this is what they're doing, Sinclair, that is, just trying to scramble up some money to not even be able to pay these teams in their Bally Sports Network. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's pathetic. I mean, it's not like you were paying these people that much to begin with. How much is a local meteorologist, like I was, in a small market, how much does my $35,000 a year that I was making for most of my time in Missouri, that's the federal minimum salary, by the way. If you look up the federal minimum salary, it's $35,500 something like that. And that got put into place a couple of years ago as well. In fact, now that I've got my phone out, I'm just going to look that up. Federal minimum salary wage. Gives the minimum hourly wage, but I want the minimum salary requirements. That's what I'm kind of looking for here. Again, I believe it's 35.5. It's something like that. Let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. Just trying to find it. Okay, so it's different in different states, apparently. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that that's what I was told, was 35.5. It was like the minimum salary. And I actually got a wage increase to that federal minimum, or the minimum for the state, whatever it was, once that was put into place a couple years ago, like three and a half years ago. So anyway, let's keep going here. What is my, 35.5? What is that to your bottom line as a company? And when I asked for 42 in my second contract, I got told that corporate had a stroke over what I was asking. Yes, that's a real story. I was told they had a stroke. Garbage. Pathetic. Pathetic. I was making double-digit thousands less than a competing station in meteorologists in similar positions to myself. Anyway, this is not about me and how much money I made. It's not what this is about. I'm getting to a bigger point here, which is this is pathetic. I hope Sinclair gets punished for this. I hope as many local stations that Sinclair is liquidating, I hope the people working there that lost their jobs, find a way in maybe to the competing station in town or in a nearby town, whatever it may be. I hope they have a quick transition into a new job of some kind, because I just think it's ridiculous. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there that would probably just say, that's business, that's corporate, that's America, get used to it. Well, no, I don't want to get used to it. I want to talk about these things because it's bothersome. I think it's pathetic that the CEO of a company makes, upwards of $20 million a year for some of these broadcast corporations, but yet they're just fine paying a journalist straight out of college $28,000 a year for the work that gets done and how much you work. I mean, I could work a 16-hour shift during severe weather, which I did sometimes, and I get paid for 8. That's just how it was. Of course, that's how salary works. And of course, hourly, you make overtime, which at least helps a little bit, but I didn't make any overtime. And I remember there was an entire summer where I averaged, and I ended up working like, and this is hours-wise, an 8-hour workday. I ended up working like, it was like seven or eight, like extra days in a span of 3 months. So I know how hard these people work. I know how much they care about the communities that they are in. And I think it's pathetic that Sinclair is trying to save face to their shareholders, to whoever, trying to save face for terrible business practice by getting rid of these local stations because they just don't care. I think that's pathetic. Gone are the days. There are still a few like family-owned broadcast companies. Those are the best to work for, because you have a lot of times you've got a corporate general manager or a CEO, a corporate, whoever it may be. They actually come around, they actually meet the people that they employ. They actually have a heart and they care. kind of gone are the days of that, probably not just in local television and in that industry, but probably in a lot of different industries. It's probably like, you know, maybe four or five corporations running, you know, thousands of businesses. And this is kind of like, you know, what it is for local TV. It's, you know, a couple corporations owning 95 or 90% of the entire local television market. Oh, man. I had to get this off my chest. So, you know, thank you for listening. Morning Cup of Joe podcast. I've got changes in my life. I've had changes over the last few months, and hopefully I've got more positive changes on the way. And hopefully I, you know, can work myself up to keep talking, because anytime I do a podcast, I love it. This is a lot of fun. And again, multiple different countries have listened to the podcast, and some of these are new as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I have seen. So I'm gonna open that up real quick, and just say thank you and give a shout out to you know, any country that any of you may be listening from or listening in. So let me see how to get to that from the web browser. Here we go. So, of course, the United States, no matter where you are in and what state you're in the U.S., thank you so much for listening. The United Kingdom, I've had listeners in Germany, Sweden, Canada, Guadeloupe, Australia, Ireland, France, South Africa, the Netherlands, Cyprus, and Hungary. Thank you all so much for your support and for your listenership. I got like 85 plays on the last episode. I'm so incredibly thankful, and I just really appreciate everyone listening. And, you know, be sure to follow on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe. And, you know, again, hopefully I can kind of keep going with this anytime I do it. I love it. This is great. Thanks for letting me get all that off my chest. And follow my Facebook page as well, Morning Cup of Joe Podcast. You look that up and you'll find it there. And there you go. That's going to pretty much do it. Again, huge shout out and thank you to everyone listening. And hopefully I'll be talking to you soon. Take care and peace out.